You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Finding suitable mental health medications can be a challenge. The GeneSight test may help. Did you know that genetics can play an important role in gaining insight on how a person may respond to various medications? Understanding this may help reduce medication trial and error. GeneSight is a genetic test that analyzes variations in DNA. It shows how genes may affect someone's metabolism or response to medications commonly prescribed to treat depression, anxiety, and other mental health conditions. Visit GeneSight.com for more information.
This is The Jerry Callahan Show.
You know, the people who blindly support Donald Trump, I don't include me in that. I supported him, obviously. He was a better choice than the alternative. I think we've learned that unequivocally over the last 8 months. But the people who blindly support him have to admit that he had one great flaw. I mean, he had more than one great flaw. He wasn't a good tweeter. He liked to brag and boast, and he was a little arrogant. But again, I liked his things he did, not always what he said or tweeted. I liked a lot of things he did over the 4 years, and I wish he had four more years. Obviously, most people think that now after you see the disaster that Biden has been. But I don't care how much you love him and support him. You can't look at him and say he did a good job hiring and promoting and surrounding himself with the right people. That was the great flaw. This is a guy who's been in business for 50 years, hiring and firing people, and he had no sense for talent or for loyalty from the people around him. He promoted Mark Milley. He kept him on board. He confided in him. He should have known all along. I mean, I don't think we should be surprised when you look at what kind of person Mark Milley is. He's from Winchester, and I'm telling you, there's some real, real bad people come out of Winchester.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Tom Shattuck. Yep.
Tom Shattuck. Oh, yes.
You know, we went to Belmont Hill with Rachel Levine. So two of the worst people in the Biden administration went to Belmont Hill at the same time. And then he went to, I believe, Harvard and Columbia. Princeton and Columbia, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
Princeton and Columbia did not go to a military academy. Obviously a political guy to the core, and weaseled his way up the chain, up the ladder, became a general, got a million ribbons and medals and stripes and bars and stars because he knew how to play the game. But I'm sorry, Donald Trump should have known what kind of snake Mark Milley is. And right now, if you haven't been keeping up with the news, there's a book coming out by Bob Woodward, and it's going to just blow the lid off the relationship or the actions of Mark Milley. And it's going to be interesting because I saw this morning, I know you did too, some of the people on NBC, some of the usual suspects are doing whatever they can to criticize Trump and defend Milley. Well, if you're going to do that, you're going to have to assume what is in the book is true.
Sure.
And if what is in the book is true, Mark Milley should not be fired. Mark Milley should be arrested, court-martialed, tried, convicted, and executed. And I'm not kidding. That's what the law, I mean, that's treason. That is treason if what is in the book is true. And I assume Milley has no choice but to deny it. But you know what? When you have a conversation, and the big allegation, there's a couple of big allegations, but he was absolutely subverting the power of the president, going behind his back and doing things that are blatantly illegal, unethical, immoral. If what is in the book is true, and the big allegation is that he called his counterpart in China and said, if we ever attack, you know, because Trump, he's unhinged. Trump is unhinged. Trump spent his 4 years like trying to get out of conflicts. He didn't start any wars. I mean, he's not the one that, got 13 service people killed with the ill-advised plan to withdraw from Afghanistan. He wanted to withdraw. He might have if they didn't float the lie about the Russian bounties, which fueled the Liz Cheney's of the world and said, we can't pull out now. And it made it more difficult. He still should have made a better effort, but it didn't happen under him. It happened under Biden. Biden did everything wrong, got people killed. Just a debacle, as people have said. It'll be studied for 100 years on how not to withdraw from a conflict. Biden did everything wrong, and he continues to do everything wrong, including send that fool Tony Blinken to testify before Congress and before the Senate. He's a disaster. I mean, why he's not fired already is bizarre. Milley will be fired. He has to be fired, even though he's a Biden supporter, probably a Biden friend, a good political hack, a deep state swamp creature, if ever there were one. But if they're going to defend him for the accusation, they have to assume what he did was true.
Yes.
So Milley can't do that. If Milley comes out and says, "Yeah, it's true. I was afraid, but you know, Trump was going to bomb China, so I called my counterpart and tipped him off. Said I would tip him off. I would warn him." If there were that is so incredible that I was surprised. I was surprised that people on NBC, MSNBC and others, CNN, defended it. Again, they will defend whoever hates Trump, whoever supports Biden. It doesn't matter how criminal, how unethical they are. They will find a way to defend him. But what happens today if Milley comes out and says, that's all lies. I didn't do any of those things. It's a lie. Doesn't he have to do that?
I don't think he's going to do that. No, I think he's going to rely on the mainstream media and his friends in Congress and other political friends to back him and say, yeah, Trump is such a loose cannon that he had to do it. He had no choice. Okay. I mean, that's what's happening.
Yeah, well, true, but consider what they're doing then. Consider they're doing. If they're saying the duly elected president, I didn't like him. You know, he was a little temperamental or whatever. You know, he
blustery.
We didn't trust him. Because he was irrational. Well, that's not your call to make, first of all. Secondly, he was, as when we'll play some Trump, yeah, sure. He was talking about it with Sean Spicer. There's no evidence that Trump was going to, nuke someone. There was just the opposite. You're much more likely to get nuclear war with a 78-year-old senile swamp creature like Joe Biden. The idea that Trump was on the brink of, nuking China is absurd. That's only one of the allegations. The other one is that he colluded with Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and his officers and told them, you answer to me. You don't answer to the president. I mean, he did quite, and I've just read, summaries, excerpts from the book. There's four or five things that are absolutely criminal. And he should be, if one of them is true, or if he were doing this in support of a Republican, he would be gone today. He would be fired today. The only reason he's not fired already, the only reason there's not unanimity in the media is because, as usual, Trump derangement syndrome, Trump hatred. But you read this and you say, I knew the guy was arrogant. I knew he was an a-hole. I mean, I've seen enough press conferences, especially during the withdrawal, or, the testimony about white rage that he's so concerned in, and he's busy, reading Robert DiAngelo and Ibrahim Kendi. He's just so woke. You knew he was an a-hole. You just knew it. You didn't realize he was a criminal. You didn't realize he was a traitor. I mean, this, by any definition, and if you read, any sober analysis of this, it is certainly worthy of a court-martial. Going behind the back of a president saying, don't listen to him, listen to me? That's something out of a movie. I mean, that's something, Tom Clancy would write if he were still alive. I mean, it's bizarre. And I was wondering this when I first heard it. I said, how are they going to spin it? How are they going to present it? How are they going to defend him? And they've found a way. As you said, Trump was unhinged. He had to do it. Well, first of all, that's not his call to make. Second of all, prove it. Prove it. Unhinged? What did he do other than, stupid tweeting and saying some dumb stuff? What did he do?
Well, and that's
what did he say?
And that's how Trump,
what did he do?
That's how Trump didn't do himself any favors. I mean, no. As much as the way his tweeting style and his aggressiveness when he was with the media helped him get elected, that's also sort of proof at least to, you know, to some ears and to some eyes, that he was unhinged. So I think it's going to be in the court of public opinion is where this is going to be tried. And most people will agree. Most people will think he was unhinged. So, oh, this seemed like a reasonable action by Miller.
It's going to be tough because Bob Woodward, you know, wrote a book. He's written many books. And for some reason, people talk to him. Yeah. He wrote a book critical of Trump. And I blame Trump 100% for that. Trump sat down, I believe it was, I forget the number, 14 times or 14 hours with Bob Woodward. Bob Woodward, who clearly hated Trump and didn't want to do him any favors, and Trump's ego got the best of him. He said, I can convince him. You know, I'll change his mind, which was never going to happen. You can Google it. Trump said some dumb stuff to Woodward, gave him, you know, those pullout quotes to promote the book. And I'm sure the book sold well. And I'm sure everybody who is now going to question the veracity of what's in the new book is going to say, previously said they believe what Woodward wrote. They believe the things Woodward wrote about, Bush or Trump or their political enemies. Well, what are they going to do now? If they believe it, even if you spin it and say, you know, Trump was irrational, it is by definition, treasonous what he did. So this puts Bob Woodward has put his friends in, the Biden regime, put his friends in the mainstream media in a tough spot, because this makes the accusations against Milley are as bad as it gets. I mean, they're literally punishable by the death penalty. If you prove treason, there's the idea that he would survive this, the idea that he'd remain as the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, remain a general, the highest ranking person in the U.S. military. I mean, that can't happen. I mean, that cannot happen. He has to be done. And again, if he were doing this in support of Trump and against Biden, he'd be gone today. He'd be gone by now, by today, by what is this, Wednesday?
It's Wednesday.
Yeah, be gone by lunchtime. He'd be gone. By dinner time, there'd be a warrant for his arrest. You know, he would be disgraced in every possible way, in the court of public opinion, in criminal court, military court. There would be no end to it. But here is why our system is so screwed up right now. There are still people in jail in D.C., probably right down the street from where Milley is right now. Milley's probably having breakfast at the Four Seasons, sitting there, with a stack of pancakes and, the big Eggs Benedict and dripping it all over himself, this slob. Right down the street from where Milley is, there are people in jail, in solitary confinement, for trespassing on January 6th. If you don't follow, again, Julie Kelly on Twitter, you should, because she chronicles it every day. And it's amazing. Yesterday, she had a letter from a veteran, a combat veteran from Iraq, who trespassed that day and is still in solitary. And the reason given by the judge is that he was a veteran. And that means he's dangerous because he was in the military. So they're using the guy's service against him, keeping him in jail. As we know, the Viking man, he's still in jail. He assaulted nobody. He broke nothing. He just trespassed and made, howled like a wolf in the Senate chambers. That's it. He's been in solitary for 8 months. All those people, grandmothers, veterans, people with red hats who took selfies in the Capitol will do more time than General Milley, who committed treason. It's so bizarre to me that we can't even agree that what he did, what Milley did, is wrong. It's criminal. It's unethical. I mean, Biden, if he wanted to show that he's not a complete partisan hack, or the people around him wanted to show that they're not complete partisan hacks, they would step up and say, we can't allow this, even for a guy that, we like and generally we agree with about, white rage and everything else, critical race theory and all the other stuff that Milley has swallowed. We agree with him. We like him, but we can't have this. We can't have this guy subverting civilian control of the military, which is our system. He doesn't like it, particularly, that crazy Trump guy. He doesn't like it. He literally went to behind, according to Woodward, behind Trump's back and coordinated with Nancy Pelosi.
How much more proof do we need of a deep state either?
This is the deepest deep state, like, the swampiest swamp thing I've ever seen. And if Biden, wouldn't it go a long way if Biden, you know, Biden, of course, claimed to be bipartisan. He never was. He never will be.
No.
But if he fired him today and said, you know, personally, I like him and all that, but we can't have this. It's just, this is unacceptable. I don't know what, I mean, Biden probably will never talk about this unless, you know, Peter Ducey gets a shot to ask him.
Sure.
Nobody will ask him. Nobody will care. It will be, they'll hope it just goes away the way all the scandals do when they involve the, you know, one of the guys that the mainstream media loves or supports. But won't it be wild if it just goes away and we see, you know, Mark Milley up there again and doing a press conference? He's got to go before the Senate. He's got to go testify at some point about the Afghanistan withdrawal. And I'm going to guess, at least, you know, from Rand Paul, Ted Cruz, they'll get some questions about this. And he's going to, one of two things, either he admits he did it and tries to rationalize it, which is criminal, or he lies and says he didn't do it. And then we wonder, does Woodward have a transcript? As I heard Tom Cotton say this, he's not sure whether we have a transcript because generally these calls are monitored. But if it's not, for some reason, if somehow Milley managed to avoid the surveillance, he says, I'm sure China does. China has it. China has a recording. China has a transcript of him calling his counterpart, the head of the military of the Chinese Communist Party, and saying, don't worry about it, bub. We're friends. We've been friends for 5 years. I'll let you know if there's an attack. What? How does that even work? The Chinese guy must be like,
oh,
are you putting me on? Are you setting me up? An attack? First of all, whoever thought there was going to be an attack on China?
No reasonable person.
Secondly, if there were an attack on China, that's a world war. That's a nuclear war.
Yeah.
And the head of our military is telling the head of their military, I'll let you know. If we launch the missiles, you'll be the first to know. I mean, it's like someone, General Patton telling, telling his counterpart with the Nazi Germany, if we're going to roll the tanks in and if we're going to hit the beach at Normandy, you'll be the first to know.
Right, right.
I mean, honestly, you fools on NBC, MSNBC, Washington Post, are you seriously defending, because you hate Trump that much, you're defending a general who said to a enemy, the enemy, I mean, that's, you know, by definition, he's talking about attacking them. So that would be our adversary. That would be our enemy in a war. Don't worry, bub. I'll call you. I'll let you know. You'll have time, to get down in the bunker. You'll have time to mobilize your forces because I'm going to call you when this crazy bastard over here decides to launch the missiles. I'll give you a call. All right, great. Yeah. Hey, could you do the same for me? The
Chinese. Yeah, just let us know.
Chinese would be laughing.
Favors.
Going, he must have hung up and called Xi or whoever he answers to and said,
do you know what these crazy guys are doing?
You're not going to believe. You're not going to believe the call I just had. You're just not going to believe. What? Yeah. This guy says he's going to tell me if they launch missiles. Huh? Huh? What? Oh, God, is this madness. And again, this is compounded. First, you hear the story. You go, this snake, this no good piece of crap is literally going behind the president's back and colluding with Nancy Pelosi. He called the Chinese also? He called his own guys, his own generals and colonels and majors and said, don't worry about a thing. You come to me. I'm the guy. We're not dealing with that crazy president. He just lost the election. We don't know what he's going to do. You answer to me. That's just so insane. We don't answer to generals. We answer to the elected, the people we elect in Congress, the people we elect in the White House. You know, that's a representative democracy. This isn't the military junta.
I think it is. I think we got a junta going.
we got a coup. I mean, that's Marco Rubio said flat out, this is the definition of a military coup. And the insane thing is liberals, media people are all in. Yeah, it's a good military coup. It's not one of the bad ones. This is a good coup. This is a coup to overthrow Donald J. Trump. It's just, I mean, if this were anyone else, even Bush or Reagan, I mean, they were all Nazis according to the media, but they would say, this is a bridge too far. But it's Donald J. Trump who tweeted crazy things, who made fun of, whatever people and called them fat and stuff. And he was crude, he's vulgar. So and he was an enemy of the deep state. So we're cool with it. We're cool with an occasional military coup because it's our guy. He's on the right side. Yeah, he's on the right side.
Yeah.
I'll be fascinated. It will be fascinating to see what happens today with the pride of Belmont Hill, because he has to do one of two things, either admit it's true and defend it, which is criminal, or he has to say
Woodward didn't
happen. Woodward lied.
Yeah.
The other guy lied. I mean, they have literally in the book, or I'm looking at the excerpts, obviously, are quotes, from the book, what it actually says. And to me, this is going to be huge. I mean, the book is called Peril.
Right.
It's about the days, after the election, leading up to the inauguration, January 20th, and how Trump was acting. Milley called the head of China's military, General Li Zuzheng, and told him, quote, the American government is stable and we're not going to attack. Quote, if we're going to attack, I'm going to call you ahead of time. It's not going to be a surprise. We're not going to have a... Li replied, okay.
Okay.
I will take your word for it.
It's nuclear holocaust. What do you mean you'll take his word for it? Can you imagine? I can't imagine what the Chinese were thinking. Like, we know there'll be a transfer of power and it'll go okay. We aren't expecting an attack, of course. Like, I would be just dumbstruck with that phone call. Who would ever think that?
Obviously, people who said, Trump's not going to leave the White House, we're going to have to send the military, were just making it up because they hated him. There was never a threat. I mean, he believes they cheated. He has reason to believe it. He certainly believes big tech rigged it. We know that they sat on the laptop story and other things. They banned people, Trump supporters, from Twitter. They did their best to rig it. We know Zuckerberg gave millions of dollars, election integrity organizations in Georgia, did his best to win Georgia for Biden. We know all that. So Trump's mad. He's bitter. I understand. But there was never a threat that he was going to nuke something. He was going to attack China. That's so absurd. This guy Milley is not only drunk with power and thoroughly corrupt, he's crazy. I mean, he's freaking crazy. Calling, even if you thought, he might attack China, which is nuts. But then you actually take proactive steps and say, I'll warn you. Don't worry. I'll warn you. And it leads me to believe they have something, either a transcript, a tape, a recording, an eyewitness, because they're actually quoting Milley.
Yeah.
Quoting Li, the Chinese counterpart.
There's another one, too, that I can't remember the exact quote, but Milley basically tells them, hey, listen, if you're ever on the phone with Trump, too, it's not a real phone call unless I'm there with him. So don't listen to anything that he says. It's crazy.
We'll get to Trump's reaction because, I mean, he just blew his mind that he would. And again, his fault. He trusted this snake. Lots of people told him not to. He went ahead. He was enamored of these military guys. He was enamored of Mad Dog Mattis and John Kelly, all of them who were didn't return the admiration and all, did not like him. And I'll get to the conversation with Milley and Nancy Pelosi. He's colluding with crazy Nancy, this 80-year-old, this fanatic, Trump-hating fanatic, who wanted to do anything and everything to undermine Trump. And the general, top military guy who Trump was allegedly trusting, was colluding with Nancy Pelosi. It's just incredible. And I think they got him. I really do. I think they got him. There's just too much here. There's literal quotes and witnesses. It's going to be hard for them to treat him like he's Kevin Cullen, making stuff up. Oh, no, that never happened. He just made it all up. this guy Costa and Woodward, they made it up with great detail, if they did make it up.
Sure.
And they made it up. And again, this is not their, they're on his side. Woodward is clearly on his side. He's a good liberal, a good swamp creature. I mean, these are his friends. These are his people. But if the story was too good, I mean, Woodward is a journalist. Yeah. The story's too good. He can't sit there and say, I got your back. He can't be like one of these, you know, New York Times guys and sit on the story, or one of these big tech, you know, tyrants and sit on the story to help Biden or to help Milley. It's too good. This book's going to sell a million copies. It's going to be fascinating. And I think we got a glimpse of how, you know, the deep state media types, how the NBCs and Washington Posts are going to handle it. They're going to say, well, it's good. It's good because Trump was crazy. I mean, you go, Trump was crazy. What did he do? Tweeted? I mean, crazy? He threatened China? That's absurd. But we'll get back to Milley again, the pride of Belmont Hill, the pride of Winchester, Mass. We should have known Princeton, Columbia. And there's a lot of
a lot of signs there.
Questions. It's a lot of signs, a lot of signals in the past that he might not be on the up and up. We're going to get to Norm Macdonald too, because Norm Macdonald, I went to the rabbit hole for like a couple of hours.
That's like tweeting.
Watching, I mean, the videos, the performances on the SNL, and we lost a legend. We lost a great, great comedian, a great, great character, and a guy with, I'll remember it most, a guy with big balls who reminded us, at least while I was down in the rabbit hole watching these videos, that SNL used to be funny, that comedians used to be fearless. You know, those days are gone, and it felt like it was a turning point when Norm Macdonald passed away yesterday at the age of 61. But we will get to Norm Macdonald, and we'll get to Nicki Minaj, because I didn't know you were such a big fan. I didn't know that she was your favorite rapper.
Female rapper.
Female rapper. Who's your favorite male rapper?
Depends. I don't know.
I never heard of Depends. Was he named after the diaper?
Yes, he was. Yeah. No, Jurassic 5 is probably
Jurassic 5. But Nicki, I'll tell you.
I do like Nicki. She's quite good.
I'm certainly on Nicki's side in her feud with Joy Reid, but I'll tell you why I didn't retweet Nicki. A lot of people did. She had a million retweets, and she had a lot of people supporting her. Tucker was all in last night on his show. But there's one flaw in Nicki's argument, in Nicki's case against Joy Reid, that made me a little reluctant to retweet her and go all in, but we'll get to that, and we'll get to Norm Macdonald and a few other things. Like, oh, the latest Biden lie. We got another just idiotic Biden lie, and which one of those lies where you go, why bother? I mean, what's the purpose? What's the purpose? But we'll get to that and a lot more today on The Callahan Show, which is brought to you, as always, by DCU. Why do DCU members love their free checking account? Simple. No monthly maintenance fees, no minimum balance, no strings attached. What's better is with direct deposit to their free checking account, DCU members can get paid up to 2 days early. Who doesn't love getting paid early? Zero monthly maintenance fees, zero monthly balance, zero reasons not to switch. They will even remove the hassle of switching your direct deposits and automatic payments from your current checking account. Learn more and make the switch today at dcu.org/freechecking. Insured by NCUA. Membership required. All right, Karan, before we get to Norm Macdonald and all those other things, back to Milley, this traitorous, treasonous weasel. I got the part here from the book is going to be released September 21st. It also recounts, obviously, the call to China is the worst. The call to China is traitorous. It's criminal. It's insane. It's over the top. It's unethical. There's no arguing in favor of it. I don't care who you are. You just can't defend it. You just got to throw up your arms and say, he's a bad apple. Get rid of him. Promote someone else and be done with it. We'll see how that plays out. I'd love to see him testify like today. I don't know if they could do that, call him immediately to testify, because he's so arrogant. And some of these Republican senators are really good. Obviously, Rand Paul, Ted Cruz. These guys are going to go right at him. It will be great theater. A lot of people will be watching.
Yeah.
And I don't know how he could defend himself, but we'll see. But here's part B from the book. It says, also recounts a phone conversation Milley had with Nancy Pelosi after the January 6th violence at the Capitol, which Pelosi blamed on an unhinged Trump. This is Nancy Pelosi. How they have this stuff like quoted directly is beyond me, but again, maybe they got a transcript, maybe there was a witness, maybe they got a tape. If they have it on tape, Milley should just like resign right now and move to China. Ask his buddy, the military guy, Jing Gang, to give him asylum. He says, quote, I can guarantee you, and you can take it to the bank, that there'll be the nuclear triggers that the nuclear triggers are secure, and we're not going to allow anything crazy, illegal, immoral, unethical to happen. The president alone can order the use of nuclear weapons, but he doesn't make the decision alone. One person can order it. Several people have to launch it. So he's saying that he will not listen to the president. He will not obey an order, assuring Nancy Pelosi, don't worry, we got this. We're not going to let him do anything crazy. That's all on tape. I mean, that's criminal. That's fireable. That's a court-martial right there. If that's on tape, if that is a transcript, what are we waiting for? I mean, the guy has to be frog-marched out of the Pentagon today. There's no choice. There's no option. Do you know who lost? He lost, and this is telling. Vindman, Colonel Vindman, who's a deep state swamp creature himself, as we saw during the Ukraine, the phony Ukraine impeachment. Vindman came out strongly and said, this is just wrong and he has to go. So I think that might happen. I mean, I think the rats might jump off this sinking ship today and the coming days, and we might see Belmont Hill's own stripped of all those ribbons, all those medals and all those stars and stripes. I would like to see him completely, utterly humiliated. That's the only way justice will be served. If this arrogant SOB publicly gets stripped of everything, including his pension and whatever other perks. I'm sure he has cars and housing allowances and jets, use of jets. All that should be over today. There's just no way he can continue to serve as the highest ranking member of our military. It's just madness. But all right, we will move on from...
These people don't answer to the law, though. They answer to public opinion. If they can sway with the mainstream media, I don't think he goes anywhere. I think he should, but I don't think he's going anywhere.
Well, I guess the only hope will be that the Senate hearings. He can't not... I mean, I guess he could do what Tony Blinken did. Stay in his office at the State Department a mile down the road and not show up on Capitol Hill. Just do it remotely.
Yeah.
And they literally asked him, they said, are you in Washington? He said, yeah. And you can't come speak to us in person?
Take an Uber.
He is so bad in those hearings. And Milley, although Milley will be louder and more arrogant, and he'll puff out his chest the way he did when he said, I want to understand white rage. Well, they'll take a look in the mirror. There's white rage, you hypocrite. That will be great. Great theater. I hope it happens really soon.
And Fauci's still around, though, to make my point. Like, I mean...
Fauci's still around, and we know he sent taxpayer money, funds, to the Wuhan lab for the research that created the virus that killed 600,000 Americans. And he's still not around. He's still the highest paid bureaucrat. He still thinks he's president.
Yeah.
He's still talking about, mandating that you can't go on a plane or travel if you don't get an injection. I mean, the guy's more arrogant than ever. And the media puts him on. He goes on CNN, MSNBC, and they don't ask about sending money to Wuhan. They don't even ask it. We know it. It's true. He not only did he do it, he lied about it under oath. It's a good point. He's the ultimate swamp creature. He's just loathsome. And they continue to put him on and say, what can we do now to force people to get vaccinated? Well, you can't get on a plane. What? Can't get on a plane. Planes are one of the safest places you can be, by the way. I mentioned this months ago. A friend of mine, a doctor, said, don't worry about going on a plane. The ventilation is outstanding. There's no history or track record of people getting infected or transmitting the virus on planes. Planes are safe. You don't have to worry about the guy next to you might be unvaccinated. If you're still not sure how that works, you're vaccinated, but you can't, that guy next to you, he's going to kill me. if he doesn't get vaccinated. So the vaccination, you don't think really works, but you're insisting he get it anyway. Do I have that right?
Yeah, there's no logical reasoning.
Every day I try to make sense of it. Every day I say,
you're either protected if you get the vaccine or you're not. You can't have both sides.
The vaccine is so important. You want it mandated. You want it required. You want people held down.
So it must be good for you. It must help you.
The vaccine is so awesome. Everyone has to get it. But if you don't get it, you're going to threaten me, my life, my health, even though I have it.
Yeah, you're vaccinated and it works so well that you're afraid if I'm not vaccinated, I'm going to get you sick.
Right. I think I have the, yeah, I think you have that.
Isn't that the?
Yes, yes. So damn it, you better get vaccinated because it doesn't really work. Got it?
Got it.
But don't get me off on Fauci. We'll do that another
and
day.
And I hate to transition too, but this is one of the reasons why we went to locals. It's like you can't get a fair and balanced view. You can't get fair and balanced reporting if you're on Twitter and Facebook because they're just doing their damnedest to suppress those voices, voices of one side of things. So
right. That's
we create a
good
community on locals. You should come to locals, join, just search the Jerry Callahan Show. And yeah, there's a lot of free content on there too, but we're going to do an extra show on Fridays in case you didn't hear the announcement for people who subscribe at $6 a month.
Excellent. Locals.com. Search me.
Yeah,
search us.
Jerry Callahan Show or Jerry Callahan. We'll come up.
This is for you homeowners and home builders out there. Did you know that Shake Concrete has a huge selection of precast concrete steps? Of course you did. I've been telling you about this. This is the best thing. I think it might be the best thing they do is their precast concrete steps. Whether you're building a new home or you need to replace an old staircase in an old home, Shea has great values with designs for any home. Available in concrete, or you can customize the steps with beautiful stone, granite, or brick. A new staircase can dramatically upgrade the front entrance of your home. In most cases, they can remove the old stairs and have you walking up your new front steps within hours. Just like that, you call Shea, they come over, they take the old steps away, which, by the way, they're really heavy. That is a pain in the ass. They take the old steps away, they put the new steps. You can sit in the window with the AC cranking and watch it all happen. And when they're done, your house looks better and it's worth more. This isn't an expense. This is an investment in your home. Check it out. You can learn more about Shea's precast concrete steps at SheaConcrete.com. And by the way, you can also look for a job there. You can go to Shea Concrete or get on SheaConcrete.com. They're always hiring. It's a great company, a great place to work. Maybe it's time for you to upgrade your profession and go work for Shea. Check that out as well at SheaConcrete.com. But all right, before we do Norm Macdonald, then we might as well do Nicki Minaj because it was great. The fight, she got in a fight with Joy Reid.
She did.
She questioned in her own charming way the effectiveness of the vaccine because her cousin's friend in Trinidad took the vaccine and his testicles swollen up. And his fiance left him. That's her warning. So be careful about the vaccine. She didn't say don't take it. Just be careful. Understand. That's still up, I believe, right?
I think it.
Oh, was that taken down?
I didn't scroll down.
Alex Berenson, who again was very thorough and data driven, he was banned for life from Twitter for just expressing any vaccine hesitancy or skepticism. Just trying to get the facts out there, they banned him. It's not acceptable to ask questions about the vaccine on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram. You just can't do it. That's what you were just referring to, Carano. That it's been the case for anyone. I mean, you can't, it doesn't matter. You know, you could be Donald Trump. You could be president. They will not allow it. They ban him. They ban Alex Berenson. They ban others. But Nicki Minaj is fine, I guess, because she's, I don't know what, she's a famous rapper and she's got 22 million followers and she sends that warning out, which is not exactly, you know, data-based.
No.
She just says, my cousin's friend's nuts swole up, so you better be careful. That brought the ire of Joy Reid. Tucker calls the race lady on MSNBC. Everyone's racist. Everything's racist. Everything's, you know, systematic racism. That's all she does. Has very few viewers, but she always says something outrageous to get, you know, get the Twitter world going or get the publicity she's looking for.
One thing about systemic racism, if you're so afraid that racism is systemic, then why would you want to give more power to the system? Why would you want to grow the government if you're afraid that it's racist?
That's a good question, but it's a little...
Why give them more power? I mean, what solves it is give them less power.
Well, they know it's not true.
They know it's not true.
Like the least racist, you know, country on the planet, the least racist time in this country.
Yeah.
I'll go back to my man, Bill Maher, when Kevin, Kevin, what's his name? The actor, the little guy.
Oh, I don't know.
Yes, you do.
What's the little guy? Kevin Bacon, Kevin Smith, Kevin.
Black guy.
Oh,
come on.
He's a comedian.
Yes, he's a comedian. You can't tell me you don't know that. I mean, I can't.
Well, you don't know it either. I mean,
yeah,
you're
I'm old.
Kevin Hart.
Kevin Hart said this is the worst time for to be black in American history, or the worst time with, you know, white supremacy is worse than ever. And Bill Maher just took him apart. He said, worse than ever. You know, used to be Jim Crow laws. Used to be slavery.
Yeah.
Just the opposite. It's the best time ever. You know, but we don't have to go over that again right now. But Nicki Minaj. Joy Reid goes after her, rips her for, you know, shame on you for telling that story about your cousin's friend and creating more hesitancy in the black community. And then immediately Nicki Minaj tweets out a couple of Joy Reid tweets.
Yeah.
Where Joy Reid flat out says she will not trust the vaccine. There it is.
So this is what she says. This is Trump time, right? I mean, will anyone at all ever fully trust the CDC again? And who on God's earth would trust a vaccine approved by the FDA? How do we get a vaccine distributed after this broken Trumpist nonsense has infected everything, even if Biden wins?
So that is as clear as you can get. That is vaccine hesitancy right there. Vaccine skepticism. She says she can't trust the CDC.
Or the FDA.
Or the FDA.
Or Trump.
And won't trust a vaccine. And she is ripping Nicki Minaj for just telling a story about some poor kid in the Trinidad with swollen balls.
Do some research.
I couldn't retweet it, though, because this kind of went under the radar.
Yeah, she does. She uses
do I have this right? This is Nicki Minaj.
Yeah, it's Nicki Minaj.
Directing it at Joy Reid.
Yes, she calls her homophobic, so we know that's the case.
She also tweets a story about Joy Reid's blog post, homophobic blog post, which she blamed on a hacker. And then later on, confessed.
Yeah. She just apologized. I don't know that she actually confessed. Oh. She said it was a hack, and then she apologized.
So she's a homophobe. She's racist, obviously. Everything's. But Nicki Minaj calls her, do I have that right?
Yeah.
A lying homophobic.
I don't think you can say that word.
C word, but not that C word. I mean, a really vile
racist
slur.
Word, yeah.
To her 22 million followers, and it's still up.
Yeah, it is up.
They got different rules for rappers than they do for, you know, Alex Berenson or Donald Trump.
Oh, that's true.
Because that thing violates like every rule. You know, there's vaccine hesitancy, there's racism. It's crazy.
I put it in our chat, but it does have this nice little little smiley face in there, so that makes it better.
Yeah. Right. Well. Hopefully that feud continues. I'm sure if you're Joy Reid, you want it to continue, because Nicki Minaj has 22 million followers and.
She only has 2 million. So
she only has 2 million. She's complaining. I only have 2 million. You have 22 million. How dare you spread such skepticism, which is exactly what Joy Reid and, by the way, Joe Biden, Kamala Harris did a few months ago, because that was a Trump vaccine. And now they're ready to put people in jail if they don't get the jab or don't.
It's madness.
They don't believe in it 100%. All right, enough of these vile people. Let's get to an American hero. Norm Macdonald.
Yeah.
I don't think people fully appreciate Norm Macdonald because he was so odd and strange, and he wasn't a movie star. He didn't turn into, you know, Adam Sandler, Chris Rock when he left SNL. He was a stand-up comedian. He occasionally was in movies, and Adam Sandler would stick him in a movie. And he was a weirdo. If you followed him on Twitter, like I did for a while, I had to stop. Because he was a big gambler, you know, he gambled a lot, and he'd talk about bets, but he would tweet about golf.
All the time.
And I'm not just saying he would tweet about golf, yes. Say, really, I like, you know, I love Jordan Spieth's chance in the Masters. He would tweet every shot. I mean, he'd literally tweet saying, wow, Justin Rose just got up and down from the bunker on four, and now he's only three back, and you'd go, oh my God, I love golf, you know, I love watching golf, talking golf, but it was incredible. This guy had a lot of followers and a lot of famous people and a lot of comedians. And that, to me, was the charm of the man. And I tweeted this out. He was in the studio one time on the radio. We had him in promoting one of his shows. And he was very nice. You're always afraid that these guys will let you down. You know, when you meet your heroes, you meet these stars, and you're always afraid they'll be kind of a dink off the air and then turn it on when you go on the air. You know, that's how some people And I was trying to think of, I'll give you a quick example. Sure. Andy North, speaking of golf on ESPN, not a big star, but you know, we had him on at we were at the golf tournament and he came on and he was such a dink and he's like looking down and you try to have a little conversation as the music's playing and you want to just, you know, be human. And he'd look up and he'd say, are we going to do this or what? Like, I mean, he's just a total jerk and I can't stand him. There's other people, and I'll think of more and tell you about it. But Norm MacDonald was very cool. Came in, shook hands, laughed, told jokes, had a good time. The reason he was such a genius and the reason he was universally loved, well, maybe not by O.J. Simpson or by Hillary Clinton, but people, just not just fans, but you know, people in the business, other comedians, other actors just adored him and really, really respected him because there was no, he was 100%, as far as I could tell, genuine. He was real. There was no act. I mean, he was occasionally an actor and a performer, but he was the same way off the air as on. And again, it was not a brief time that I was with him. But the jokes he told then, the jokes he told off the air are similar to the ones he told on Letterman or on SNL. It's just, he had a weird sense of humor. He told jokes and he didn't really care whether you laughed or got them. He told jokes that he thought were funny, that probably his loyal fans. I mean, there were some times last night when I'm watching some of the video from his appearance on SNL or on Letterman and he's making a joke. And nobody's laughing except him.
Yeah.
I'm saying that is great because, you know, that is real. That is genuine. Nothing worse than a comedian that scolds the audience if they don't laugh at his jokes. I hate that more than anything. When they tell a joke and it's a bit, it's time to laugh, you know, that's a joke. Or, you know, you feel free to laugh and you go, make us laugh. It's your job.
Yeah, do a better job. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't complain if the audience isn't howling in the aisles at your lame joke. Norm MacDonald didn't care. It didn't fluster him. He didn't get hung up on it. If he told a joke, he'd just move on to the next one. And some of the stuff he told was just hysterical, if you're twisted. And I don't know what you have for sound, but it's all good.
You want to hear the Woodson?
Okay, well, let me set it up. This was my favorite one yesterday. And again, I love watching the reaction to some people in the audience when he's live, when he's, you know, in front of a live audience. The reaction, and I think he was at the White House Correspondents' Dinner sometime, and the camera was on Hillary, and he was making jokes, and she hated it. But he's at the ESPYs, and this was when ESPN used to take some chances. They didn't, you know, they actually let a guy like Norm MacDonald appear, which is the case in many, it applies in many cases. Norm MacDonald could never be on SNL today, never. He's 1,000 times better than Colin Jost and Michael Che. But he wasn't a hardcore liberal. I mean, he could never, like, be a host on, you know, late night TV like Colbert or Kimmel. I mean, these are just hardcore left-wing cancel culture mob people. I mean, he could be on with Bill Maher because he's an independent thinker and he's got balls. But he could never do what these people do late night, Seth Meyers and the rest of those frauds. I just watched Colbert do a monologue, and it was like 3 minutes on Millie, and it was so awful, and it was so unfunny, and just, he really sucks. So does Kimmel. And they suck even more after you watch the great Norm MacDonald. But this is him hosting the ESPYs, talking about Charles Woodson winning the Heisman and making lots of people in this audience of thousands really uncomfortable.
And there's Charles Woodson. How about that? And what a season he had. He became the first defensive player to win the Heisman Trophy. And congratulations, Charles. That is something that no one can ever take away from you. Unless you kill your wife and a waiter, in which case... all bets are off.
And half the people in the audience are laughing. Others are, like, shaking their heads.
Yes.
Here's what makes him such a legend. And I haven't really read all the obits today, but this belongs in the first paragraph. It really does. If I'm writing the obit of Norm MacDonald today, I say Norm MacDonald, the quirky comedian who lost his job at NBC because he wouldn't stop making fun of O.J. Simpson, a man who murdered his ex-wife. Yep. and an innocent waiter. That is the truth. And I read all about it last night because I wanted to be reminded, first of all, how great he was, but how ballsy he was. This guy had, and you know, guys on SNL, that's a dream. He was on, I think he was on 5 years. He was host of Weekend Update for 3 years. He was the best ever at it because he took chances. He made, I mean, as I tweeted this out as a reminder to kids, you know, because I'm always talking about how much SNL sucks. And how they have no balls and they don't go after. I mean, they've never, I believe they've never mocked Hunter Biden, which is amazing, amazing. But, you know, they didn't, they hardly ever mocked Biden or you know, Kamala Harris. I mean, when they tell these crazy lies, when Kamala Harris did the thing about freedom when she was a little girl and she just wanted freedom. And, you know, I think that was Jimmy Fallon cracking up laughing. It's Jimmy Fallon. Guy was on SNL cracking up laughing when Kamala Harris, the VP, makes up a blatant lie about what she said as a child. They're all in it together. Norm Macdonald was never part of that, you know.
No. If you're a comedian, you're supposed SNL should be poking fun at power.
Right.
At power
you're supposed centers, to be challenging
whatever it is,
left
power. Or right, doesn't matter. Just go after power.
Challenging the establishment.
And if it's funny, it doesn't matter. We'll laugh.
Right, which is what he did.
Yeah.
We can play his appearance on The View, which is just...
Joe, I got that. Yeah, you want to hear it?
But let me finish with the Olmeyer. Don Olmeyer was the executive of NBC who hated Norm Macdonald. And the reason he hated him was Don Olmeyer was a close friend of O.J. Simpson who killed two people. And, you know, when you're a good friend, you don't let murder get in the way. You know, you don't let murder ruin a good friendship. So he didn't want the people on SNL to make fun of O.J. Simpson and... Norm Macdonald didn't play along. Norm Macdonald continued to make fun of a double murderer until he was asked to leave. And then he had an epic return appearance. I think it was a year and a half after they fired him. He hosted. And you know what he did when he hosted? He said, this show sucks. He said, literally, he said they got rid of me. This is amazing. He goes, I was a bit player for 5 years. They got rid of me because they said I wasn't funny, which isn't the reason, but that's the reason they gave. And now they have me back as a host to host this show. He goes, you know, I guess I'm funny again, huh? I mean, he just mocked them. He went places no one would ever go. He made people uncomfortable. And he pissed off Don Olmeyer so much that they got rid of him. Now, there's a hell of a reason to lose a job, isn't it? That's something to be very, very proud of.
Yeah.
Again, that would be my lead if I were writing the obit. That he made fun of O.J. Simpson and it pissed off NBC. If he were on there today, he wouldn't be. He'd be fired. He'd be making fun of Hunter Biden and Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, and they would pull him aside and say, no, we don't do that around here. Those are our guys. And Norm Macdonald would go out and do it again the next week live, and they would finally say, you know, he's got to go. He's just not funny. So he went out guns blazing. He did political stuff, and I think he was, you know, I think he leaned right. Maybe he was a libertarian like you, but he didn't hesitate to go after the Clintons or you know, other powerful people. That was his thing. He took chances. He had balls. But he goes on The View years ago. I don't know if you have a date on this, but it's Barbara Walters was there. Joy Behar was there, and she was young. And, you know, I don't remember when she was young, but this was years ago.
2000.
To 21 years ago with Joy Behar, and he starts talking about how Bill Clinton's a murderer. And it was brilliant because he just says it matter of fact and says, oh, I thought everyone knew that. And he gets to the point where Joy Behar gets out of her chair, comes over and tries to put her hand over his mouth because they don't want him making fun of their guy. And, you know, I don't think he really believed, you know, Clinton was murdering people, but he just wanted to make everyone uncomfortable. That's how he, you know, entertained himself, to make everyone around him uncomfortable. But this is so good. You have to see it. You have to hear it. Let's listen to Norm Macdonald on with the View girls.
I think we should get the homicide out of the White House and get like a fresh start, because we don't want any more murderers.
I think we should just go on to the next question.
Oh. Who was the murderer?
Yeah.
Oh, Clinton, he murdered a guy.
Yeah, you know, we're not allowed to put out accusations without...
That's people, a little
Charlie.
Too far.
That's the way it does work.
Let's just go on to the next question.
Yeah.
This is not my week. What can I tell you?
Oh, it's not mine either, and I'm being very nice, okay? Norm, be a good boy. Now, Norm.
Do you never hear that?
No.
Listen, Norm, we don't need to talk about
this. I don't
want to
get into this, and I don't want to hear it, and this is not the place to make those accusations. And you're supposed to be funny. Let's get on
right,
with
exactly.
So get with it.
There you go.
This is a live show.
Not for nothing, Norm, but you have been properly chastised by Barbara, so I'm now going to ask the next question.
I thought it was a matter of record.
Shut up. Let me do this, okay?
And that's when she goes over. And
she goes over and literally puts her hand over his mouth. It was just brilliant. It would just make them so uncomfortable on The View just by pretending that their guy, that, you know, their friend Bill Clinton was he killed a guy. And they go like, what? He killed a guy. I think, you know, sometimes he was tell a joke, the moth joke, which we can't do now because it takes like 10 minutes.
Right.
If you haven't seen it, I tweeted it. It's out there. The moth joke. Somebody called it the greatest joke in like late night comedy history. It's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
But it's the funny part is the way he tells it. You know, it's so long and involved. And Conan O'Brien's like, you know, we got a 10, you know, the show ends, pal. We got to get to it. And he finally gets the punchline. It's great. It's funny and it's weird. And the highest praise I can give is who does he remind you of?
Oh, I don't know. I can't
think of anybody. The answer is nobody. That's the answer. I can't think of anybody. You'd say, yeah, he's kind of like Norm Macdonald. There's just nobody like Norm Macdonald. There never has been. There never will. He's originally. I wouldn't say he's the greatest character ever on SNL. I'd say Chris Farley was the greatest character in SNL. He obviously didn't have a great career, you know, in the movies, but he did things no one else did. You know, he took on the powerful. He did it in a weird kind of ways, unusual, unique way. He made everybody laugh. He didn't apologize. He was a degenerate gambler. He was a big golf fan. He was a strange guy. And in the end, and people kind of picked up on this late last night, he had cancer, fought cancer for 9 years, and nobody knew it. Nobody knew it, which, no. I mean, I'm sure the people closest to him might have known, and you know, maybe obviously his family knew, but in this day and age, when people are live tweeting, you know, their bowel movements, you had a guy, famous guy, obviously, I'm going to guess, went through chemo, radiation over and over again, went through many treatments, you know, suffered greatly, and passed away at the age of 61 of cancer, and nobody knew. Nobody. It's remarkable that there was no report of this, the news of this leaking out, that he never mentioned it to anybody. I mean, he was a guy that just said what was on his mind, and it never was about cancer. It was never, look at me, aren't I heroic? Look at all I'm going through. Look at the struggle. It's real. I mean, you just never heard that from him, and that to me is a very admirable and unique quality.
I don't know if you saw this, but I definitely watched in 2018, Norm Macdonald did a 10-episode show. It was called Norm Macdonald Has a Show on Netflix. Still there. I highly recommend
it. Oh, good.
He's got guests on, and
I saw it once or twice, and I do think...
Judy episode was very good.
His stand-up is good. It's weird and odd, and yeah. it, you know, if... Used to say if you wrote a column and you get two chuckles, like two guffaws, two laughs of a column, that's a good column. If you could write a column, I mean, if he does stand up and he's up there for whatever, half an hour, you will certainly get a couple of chuckles. There'll be moments where you roll your eyes and say, what the hell is that about? And he would do things just to entertain himself, but he will make you laugh and you will get the sense that you're just, you know, hanging with the guy. You know, you're just hanging with this oddball. You didn't feel like... You know, it was scripted. Of course it's scripted, but you never felt like it was like a performance. It was just a guy, you know, talking, speaking off the cuff, off the top of his head and making you laugh hysterically. I love the tributes to him. I'm going to keep reading today. I'm going to stay down that rabbit hole and keep watching video. Maybe I'll watch that show. What's it called again?
Norm Macdonald has a show.
Yeah, has a show.
On Netflix.
And his imitation of Burt Reynolds was the best character he did on SNL. It was brilliant. I'm pretty sure I told him that when we had him in studio. I don't remember all the things we talked about. I'm sure it was golf because he loved golf and we love golf. So we probably bored the audience with some golf talk. But his character is Burt Reynolds. And when they do the Jeopardy, like they do every week, the fake game show, he was Burt Reynolds and he was great. Just a dumb, wacky, crazy Burt Reynolds. He did Bob Dole. He did a few characters. He was supremely talented, as everyone knows, but unique and funny, and he will be missed. And there won't be anyone filling those shoes. And now I'll look at Colin Jost and Michael Che even with even more.
You still watch that show?
Yes, I do. I hate
what?
Watch. Yeah, I've gone
you
over
hate
this.
Watch that show?
Okay, I know you don't listen to everything I say, but I've talked about
well,
this
show,
a thousand times. Yeah. I hate watch. I miss it. I remember when it was great. Occasionally, there'll be something mildly funny. And, you know, I talk about it on Mondays. I tweet about it. So, yes, I watch that show.
All right.
I generally record it, but it generally sucks, and it has no balls. The way, again, Norm Macdonald shows you what it used to be. It shows you it used to be the people that took the challenge to, you know, the powerful, took on the establishment. Now it is the establishment, just like all the late night comedians. Norm Macdonald didn't play that game to the point where they fired him for it, which is a great way to go and a great opening line to his obit. But we will leave it. Oh, we got to do this. Damn, I'm going to do the Biden lie. It's not worth too much time, but. Joe Biden was in Idaho. This is, again, you know, the guy is just a compulsive liar, and he's different than most politicians in that he tells lies that do nothing. They don't advance. You know,
No, there's no political reason for it. He's just trying to create a connection with the audience.
Just trying to placate the audience, ingratiate himself to the audience.
Yeah.
But this is a great example of what he does and how just... You can't believe a word he says because he'll lie about anything. I mean, of course he'd lie about big things, war and whatever, $3.5 trillion spending bills. But this is a meaningless thing. He was in Idaho on his way back from campaigning for Gavin Newsom. And I guess that worked because Gavin Newsom is free to, he's going to stay in office and continue to destroy our biggest state. But he stops in Idaho at a...
it was a lumber company?
Lumber company called Boise Cascade.
Yeah.
And he's just talking about, himself and the lumber business. And he's talking about Frank Church, former Democrat senator from out there. He says, I used to tell Frank Church this. I got my first job offer where I wanted my wife, deceased wife, and I wanted to move to Idaho because we, not a joke, it's such a beautiful place. And I interviewed for a job at Boise Cascade. And in the meantime, there was a war going on anyway, but the whole point was I used to always kid Frank. He said he had a job interview and he wanted to move to Idaho. Well, Boise Cascade spokesperson Lisa...
A Champy?
To Champy.
Yeah.
Told the New York Post, we have no record of President Biden's application or of him having worked for the companies. We checked our system internally and nothing has turned up. Of course, nothing turned up. He just made it up. Just makes up that we wanted to move to Idaho and I interviewed for a job here at this lumber company. It's like, I mean, that's a child, if that's a 12-year-old boy, his mother pulls him aside and said, you know, you shouldn't lie, Johnny. You shouldn't lie, Joey. You know, people won't believe you. It doesn't really, you don't want to be known as a liar. Why are you lying? It doesn't help you.
And you know the owner of the company was there. What was this guy
You're
thinking?
At the company. It's not like I interviewed
like,
for some lumber company.
I
interviewed at this
that.
Lumber company. And immediately people ask, did that really happen? I mean, and this is Idaho. Obviously, if it's, you know, New York or D.C., they go into full cover-up mode. And say, sure. No, don't check. Don't ask. Just believe him. You know, when he says, what was the other lie he told about what he used to do? We used to work somewhere, and it was like, well, no, you didn't. You've been a hack politician. He was elected to the Senate when
just
he was
a few
29.
Years out of college. Yeah, right.
He's been, you know, he hasn't had a real job his whole life. He's been in the swamp for 50 years. Everybody knows that. He didn't have a real job. He didn't work in the private sector. He didn't earn anything in his entire life, create anything. So he wants you to believe it. Yeah, I interviewed at this company in Idaho. When he was a young guy with his deceased wife, they wanted to move somewhere, which I think that'd be kind of weird, moving with your deceased wife to...
Well, you don't want to do that. When she's still around.
Right.
Yeah, don't want to resurrect her.
Totally makes it up, and people go, oh, that's amazing. Let's check it. They check it. It's a lie, and we move on. Nobody cares. It's just amazing.
The lie was drive an 18-wheeler truck.
Oh, that's right. He drove an 18-wheeler. And immediately they checked. He never had his commercial driver's license. It didn't actually happen. And I guess it's better than lying about the big things. But when, how can you believe him on anything?
You can't.
Totally made up. Yep. But all right, we'll leave it there. Thanks to everybody for watching and listening and commenting and signing up at locals.com. How are we doing?
Very well. Yeah, there's a lot of people there. People are posting content, which is great. I encourage you all to do that and create some conversation there. It doesn't have to just be from us. It's a safe place for everybody, I guess. But yeah, the numbers look really great. And I did some testing yesterday to make sure it would work when we go on, when we do the show on Friday. And I think everything is working fine.
Excellent. We'll be following the General Milley saga. See how this slime ball responds today to all the accusations, to the story. It's going to be tough. But, you know, he's just arrogant enough to get out there, think he can make it go away and try to handle it, and it will get worse. I know I'll be following with interest. We got a tomorrow we get, I think we got a pretty good guest tomorrow, and then we got a show Friday.
Yep. On Locals. Go to locals.com.
On Locals, just for our subscribers on Locals. So if you want to listen, watch, hear Friday's show, you got to sign up. And you can do that at locals.com. Just search my name, search the name of the show. But, all right, we'll leave it there. I appreciate it. I'm Jerry Callahan. This is The Callahan Show with Matt Carano. And we will talk to you tomorrow.